In the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Gospel of the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Tut is, as we just heard, the passage from Luke chapter 7, speaking about the woman who is known to be a sinful in the city, and how she entered the house of Simeon the Pharisee, and she anointed the feet of the Lord, and she was able at the end to get from the home with the forgiveness for sins, and the Lord justifying her. Many virtues we can learn from this woman that is still till now we do not know her name. She is identified after her bad reputation being a woman who is sinful in the city. But today we are going to focus about how she taught us how to maintain focus on the right thing. So today we are going to reflect on three main points. What is the right focus? Maintaining this focus, and then we talk about how sometimes many are lost in distractions. Speaking of the right focus, what is our right focus? What is the focus behind what everything we do? We all can answer this right. We say, yes, it is the Lord Jesus, He is the focus. But many times, actually, He is not there. He's not visible. In many actions we do, in many decisions we make, in how we treat people and how we think of them, He is not there being the ultimate and right focus. St. Paul summarized the whole thing in this verse, saying, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is not something we do it sometimes, or when we come to the church, or whenever we are praying, I lift up my eyes and look at Jesus. It should be something that's all the time, every day, every decision I make, every step, every person I deal with, I should always see the Lord behind this in order for me to be able to do what is right and what is pleasing to Him. There are many lessons in the Bible about how can we maintain this right focus. The first lesson, we learn it from the sinful woman. She came to the house with one mission in her mind. I will go and express my love and, in a way, a silent apology for the life I was leading before. This was her only focus, Christ. She came not seeing anyone around Him, not focusing or not distracted by everything around her. She could have been distracted by the Pharisees who are invited, looking at her with this, like in a way, make her feel like she's not welcome here. She did not focus on her past or her sins or anything. Her focus was on coming to this place, and then I offer my love and my worship to my Lord and Savior. It is not something unfamiliar with us whenever we remember many, many days in our way to the church. We get distracted with many things, argument with each other in the car, coming to the church, finding a place, being distracted with people in the church, what they are wearing, how they are moving, how the chanters are doing their job. All of these get us at the end of the day to be so much distracted. And what we came for, to be united with the Lord the Christ, is something that we totally forget. And we come out of from the church remembering everything except the person that we came here to meet with Him. The woman came to the house of Simeon, focusing only on offering her love, and that's it. And she was never distracted by anything else. Another good example of a person who was able to maintain the focus is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, also his focus was the Lord Jesus. When he went over the tree, he was not distracted by his honor and dignity, how he is regarded in the community, how people will look at him and maybe laugh at this kind of scene, a short man climbing over a tree. Nothing of this was in his mind. When the Lord Christ came to his home, and he found this pearl of great price, it was not something difficult for him to give up everything else. He looked at the Lord Jesus and he found there is an obstacle. There is something in the way between me and Him, the money that I got by false accusations, by stealing it from others. And it was easy for him when he maintained his focus on the Lord Jesus to get rid of the money and whatever that might hinder me from being united with the Lord Jesus. He did not think of the Lord Jesus as a visitor, just coming for one day and that's it, it's good. He came today and we had a banquet and everybody was happy. No, he wanted this relationship to be forever. In order for him to maintain the relationship, he was able to get rid of the thing between him and his Savior. Another example also of a person who was able to maintain his focus was Saint Stephen. Every time I read the passage and I think of him being stoned, something very harsh way to kill someone, to keep like throwing stones at this person. And of course, it hits whatever it hits, his head, his eyes, or whatever. But we find him not even paying attention to all of these. And at the time of his departure, he looked to heaven and saw heaven opened and said, I see the Lord Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father. Because he was able to focus on the Lord Jesus in this moment, he was able to endure and able to forgive. Many, many times, whenever someone is asked to forgive, he says, there is no way. What has been done to me is beyond what can be done to any human being. If I state this kind of statement, I am saying I am not seeing the Lord Jesus behind the person who hurt me. My eyes are now focused on the person who hurt me, and that's it. It will start and end here. And we do this, we are distracted, and we will never be able to enjoy him. Saint Stephen did not see the people who were throwing stones or killing him, but his eyes were in the right place. Another good example also is Mary, Lazarus' sister. We know of this banquet that they invited the Lord to. Mary was focused only on him. I will sit at his feet and learn. He is in my house today. Martha, on the other side, was distracted with the service. The service is not something bad or evil, but the service in the wrong time becomes a distraction. When he is here, when he is in the house, everything should stop. It's time to be sitting at his feet and learning. And Mary was able to maintain her focus in the right place, on the right person. Another example also is the man born blind. After the Lord granted him his sight back, he was pushed from every side. His parents, as if abandoned him, said, he is of age, ask him. And the Pharisees kept on interrogating him back and forth in order for him to renounce the Lord Jesus and declare that this man is a sinner. But the man born blind, he was so much focused on what happened to him and this person who gave him his eyesight for the first time in his life. He was able to stand for himself, answer every question, and even showing the Pharisees that they are not thinking in a logical way. By maintaining his focus, he was able at the end to know the Savior, the Son of God, who came to redeem him and all mankind. Another good example also of those people who are so much focused was St. Paul. The multiple losses that he endured on every front. He was a Pharisee. He enjoyed some kind of dignity and authority. After he came to know the Lord Jesus, he lost everything, literally everything. People were even chasing him. Even sometimes those people whom he preached to and he converted them to Christianity, they also did not regard him. They doubted his apostleship. And none of these distracted him from his mission. He said to us this phrase, that statement and verse that we should always remember. Indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. No one can endure this, can lose everything and still be motivated. No one can do this unless he has the right focus. What am I losing and what I am gaining? And at the end, I am the one who won because I came to the knowledge of the Lord Christ. Going to the last point, how sometimes many, and sometimes we ourselves, are lost in distractions. The first example is also from today's story, Simeon the Pharisee. He invited the Lord Jesus, but because he was distracted and his eyes was on everyone except the Savior, then he was judging him and he forgot even the rules of hospitality. What I should be doing in order to honor this person who is my guest of honor today. He did not do anything. He just looked around and kept on judging the people, judging the Lord Jesus himself. If this man was a prophet, he would know whom this woman is. This distraction made him to lose the blessing. Martha, Lazarus' sister, in the same story where we found Mary focusing on the Lord, she was distracted with the service. And the Lord made it clear to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. I can definitely put my name here, and I can read this verse while my name is at the beginning. The Lord Jesus saying to me, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. I believe every one of us can hear this verse and can hear this saying of the Lord to him. You are worried and troubled over many things, but the need is for one. Her distraction with the service and not setting the priorities right made him to lose the blessing of this moment. There is another story from the Paradise of the Fathers about an abbot who was the head of a certain monastery. He was so busy, he has many people to guide and to let them, like in a way, be welcome in the monastery, all of the monks. And one day, he was so much troubled and worried about many guests who are coming to him. All of them were dignitaries, so he was so much focused on them. One of his disciples came to him and said, Father, there is a poor man standing at the door of the monastery asking to meet with you. And he told him, I don't have time for him today. Let him wait. And he again came back and forth many times, this disciple asking, the man insisting, he wants to see you. And he told him, don't you see? I have many dignitaries today that I have to host and make them feel welcome in the monastery. I don't have time for this person. The disciples, when he went back to the poor person, then this poor person told him, you can tell the abbot, he will receive many dignitaries. I will send him all of the honorable people he might imagine, but he will not taste the food in my kingdom. So this poor person was the Lord Jesus himself. And unfortunately, because the abbot was so much like distracted with pleasing the dignitaries coming to his monastery, he lost the purpose. Why am I here? What I'm doing in this place? There is another story that sounds like funny, but it's a very interesting story about distraction. It's about a monk who decided to leave the monastery and live in a cave by himself. So he went and he was trying to set everything in order in the cave. So the first 2-3 days, everything went okay, until he noticed that his blanket, something is like eating it. He discovered there is a rat in the cave that he's living in. He was so much distracted with this. How can I get rid of the rat? It's going to maybe eat all of the blanket. He went back and he said, okay, the best thing is I get a cat for this. It lives with me and the cat will take care of the rat. He went, he got the cat, and then he started thinking, how am I going to feed the cat? I don't have anything for the cat to eat. I have to bring some kind of milk. He left his cave and went in order to get milk for the cat that now is taking care of the enemy inside his cave. Next day, he has to go and get more milk. Said, this is inconvenient. I cannot live this way. Let me get maybe a goat so I can get from the goat the milk by which I can feed the cat and the cat will take care of the rodents in my cave. He went to get the goat and then he got another problem. How am I going to feed the goat? So he said, I have to plant some kind of like vegetables or anything in order for me to be able to feed the goat. Another month and another month passing, and then he's finding that all of these fields are now are bringing him a lot of crops. And he started to sell. He said, this is too much. Let me sell the extra, and then I see maybe I can do it, I give it to the poor. He got so much involved in this, like planting and harvesting and selling and buying, until he started to make a fortune. One time, and one of the people who came to buy from him his crops, he knocked on the door and he told him, "How is your business going?" He told him, "It's going very well." So this person told him, "But remember, when you came out from your monastery, you did not come here to make a business. You came here to serve God and not to do this." And he left him. And the man kept thinking, "What got me here?" He just got distracted with something annoying in his cave. And this is how he started going from a step to another step until he found himself totally away from the purpose that he abandoned the world for. He was living in the world inside his cave. Very sad. When people in the holy places, they are supposed to be focused on salvation and salvation of others, they get distracted this way. The age we live in today is the age of distraction in everything and in every day. Even now, we all know that. We now are so much used to pictures. Things are moving before our eyes. News are happening here and there. And sometimes even you find that we cannot sit still for 5 minutes. A person finding himself lonely for 10 minutes, his phone is not ringing, he will get it and try to text someone else. So he gets himself out from this kind of silence. We are so much distracted every day, away from our main focus. There is a metaphor that I like to bring it to you today that's called written by C.S. Lewis. He says that in the world we live today, we are like ships sailing in the ocean. All of us are focused on the distance between each other. This is the main focus. And because we are doing this, we assume that we will reach destination safely. The more the country is civilized, the more people are respecting boundaries and limits and rights. But he said there are two other things that we are forgetting. The first thing is, where are these ships are sailing to? What is their destination? Everyone has his own destination. And the second one is, how is the ship from inside look like? If the ship inside is a ruin, everything there is not set right, the crash that they are trying to avoid is inevitable. It will happen. Sadly, I find this metaphor that he wrote about it and maybe in the 50s of last century so much applied on us today. There are people today who are focused on doing nothing except to proclaim themselves advocates for social justice. At the end of the day, how their life look from inside? Nothing, ruins. Find a person who is having a humanitarian organization. She can drink and get drunk and drive under influence and kill children. And then saying that I'm advocate for social justice and for the rights of those people who are not treated fairly. If we really want to do what is right, we have to pay attention to everything, to the compass that is setting our destiny for us. Where am I heading? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I care about God and His kingdom? Or am I doing this to distract myself from the ruin that I have in my own life? Sadly, this is again a distraction that's intentional, done by the people to themselves in order for them to feel like I'm okay. I am doing what is right. I am a social justice advocate, or I'm a person who's fighting for the rights of others. Unless your life is a witness for this justice, your inside of your heart and your home is reflecting this kind of care, you are just distracting yourself. The moment we lose our sight on Him and on ourselves is the beginning of our ruin and the beginning of us losing salvation. This is the theme that we live in this age. I pray that I will always remind myself and I will always be reminded with the Spirit of God how this woman came for one reason. She got what she wanted. How she entered, have nothing in her mind except to come to this person and to offer Him love and worship in order for her to receive forgiveness and salvation. May the Lord to bless us with this kind of focus. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.